Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, April 20th. For those who don't know, this is 420. And Kelsey is not here this morning, but I'm joined by the beautiful Leah Pelka. Hi, Leah.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Welcome back to the show. We always love Leah here. She's a friend of the show, friend of the station, actually.
Friend of the Sam.
Yeah, exactly. You're a friend of everything that goes on around here. And you also co-host on the show here weekly. Tell us a little bit about that.
I do. I co-host with Jared Zavastoski on Modern Male. And it's so much fun. He makes it a lot of fun. It's about a lot of dating advice for men, what to do, what not to do. And we have a lot of women on there who are gorgeous. Yeah. And they kind of give their take on dating.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But he brings guys on too, and they talk about things.
Yeah,
and stuff
there,
like that.
There are a lot of men on as well. It's just we have a lot. I think the ratio would be like a 3-1 ratio.
Right. Yeah, that's because I told him. I said, you got to get hot chicks for your show.
Yeah, and I think too, it's always great to talk about women when you're talking about, you know, you can get great advice from women to give to men. So, like, that's the horse's mouth right there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and yesterday, it's funny because yesterday we had a lesbian here. And she's what they call a gold star lesbian. She's never been...
What does that mean?
She's never been near a penis. Ugh. She's never had sex
with a
man.
She's like a general.
Yeah. she was pretty boyish. But the thing is, she said she'd been with 3,500 women, and she says 95% of them are not lesbians. You know, so it's just she likes straight women and stuff, you know, or bisexuals, whatever.
She's up for a challenge.
Yeah, there you go. But the thing is, I asked her, I said, how can I live like such a sexual life, you know, without getting into the industry?
You really kind of can't. You have to have some kind of...
Like, you have to be in the industry, right?
Yeah, well, and this is what I talk about. I recently wrote an article on bisexuality in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I talk about using women for novelty use. If you are bisexual or trisexual or want to figure something out, they're using her for novelty use.
Yeah.
But the thing about that is it sounds like she's pretty okay with it. And that's exactly what she wants. She's
right.
She's trying to get on up there. So that's, I think it's one of those things where women are looking to explore and she makes it comfortable to do so.
Probably, yeah. And she's more safe than a guy, you know, for a straight woman, you know, because like... We were talking about this, for example. I said, well, how do you pick up those straight women? You know, she says, well, I'll go to a bar and I'll start with a line like, have you seen the bathroom here? You know, and there's something. And then she gets up to the bathroom.
I don't know that I would be like, ooh, I haven't.
You know, I know, but I'm not sure her line. Yeah, what her line is exactly like, but how it works. But apparently it does. But a guy could never do that.
So I am so sad for like our sex sometimes for females, like that would work on us. I'm so sad to admit. Sometimes, like, here's the thing. If that were me and I were standing in a bar and I would be approached like that and someone were to say something like that, I would have to be in a mood where I just broke up with my boyfriend and lost my job. And I'd be like, oh, fuck it. Like, at this point, might as well. Like,
yeah, well, that's
I mean?
You. You know, maybe there's some
it,
single girls that are open to that,
ugh.
You know?
I mean, well, that's not the thing. It's more or less like the way someone approaches you at all. If a man approaches like that or a female,
I'm saying a guy can't do it.
Yeah.
So you have to learn. But I still told her, I said, you got to teach guys how to pick up women, you know.
I'm so glad I missed yesterday's show. That would have been so funny.
I know. That was funny. And no, it was an amazing show. You guys should catch it from yesterday.
For sure.
Her name was Lily Cade. And she's done a lot. She's done a lot. And and she says, you know what the interesting thing? She says, people are either attracted to me or they want to be me. Like, guys want to be me. And it's true.
Well,
you know, who wouldn't want to be with
35? Who the hell would want to be you?
3,500 women, right? And she gets all the beautiful femme ones and stuff. So there you go.
I believe it.
So
I think
she's got the best of both worlds. But she's also building a brand, you see. And that's very smart. She turned out to be very smart. I got to tell you, you know, porn star or not, but she was smart.
She's a porn star?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Oh,
you didn't mention that part. You just mentioned that she was.
Oh, that's true.
Well, that's,
and
yeah.
she does movies,
like, that's crucial
too.
Piece of information you forgot. That helps me understand the numbers a lot better. You're
that's
crazy,
funny.
Zamsky.
I assumed that you would know, I guess. I don't know why.
Why would I know that. Yeah. Why would that be pop like knowledge
That's
for me?
True, right?
I mean, what do I just think said, of like, me, Sam?
Gold star lesbian. I guess in my mind, I already knew she was, so I didn't introduce her as such.
Well,
but yeah,
she's
in porn, definitely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's so interesting that she's in porn with the dynamic of not ever being with a man before.
Right. Super and she says people have tried on camera and off to offer her, she says, incredible amounts of money, and she wouldn't do it. She just won't do it.
Well, I think that she might preserve her brand more so if she doesn't. I think that if she holds out longer, closer to when her career is over, and she's like, well, now I'll go, and then that would be a smart business plan.
And that's what she's doing, you know? I mean,
genius.
She's, yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like in business, too. In business, too, when everybody goes one way, you got to go the other way. And
right.
then you stand out, and you become special, and you become successful.
Right.
And people don't realize that. They think, oh, I need to go where everybody else is going. But no, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. But you guys should definitely check the show. Her website, if you guys are there, is lilyk.com.
We should check her website. Now
yeah,
with all that information,
I have already,
it's a good
believe
thing you
me.
Told us a porn star bit before we went to go check the website.
I know, right?
Some people at work would just be like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
I know. They'd have all these screams coming out of their computer.
Oh,
that's
no.
funny. I know. But no, I mean, she uses like strap-ons. I mean, she's hardcore. It's not like like strap-ons, dildos, you know, anal.
So you've been to the sites, what I'm hearing. So.
Well, that's what she's talking about. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I've been to the site. I had to check her out.
Sure you did. That's research, isn't it? Sure you did. He's a good little Jewish boy. Don't let him confuse
you. Yeah, exactly.
You.
It was for the articles.
Sure it
I went
was.
To the site for the articles.
What about last night when you went after you interviewed her? Did that count?
No, actually, I didn't. I'm attracted more to feminine lesbians, you know.
Well, she has sex with them, so it wouldn't
That's
surprise
true.
Me if you
That's
were watching
true, right?
the counterpart.
That's true. Maybe I will. I mean, because I just looked at it to get an idea, but I think it could be a turn on, you know, because she said it's all genuine in her movies. What I don't
that
like
a
about
difference.
A lot of lesbian movies or straight movies, porn movies for that matter, like the new movies today, they all seem so overacted. They're, you know.
Right, no, it doesn't.
And the
seem-
people are not attractive for the most part. I just don't find today's porn stars to be attractive.
I don't have anything against porn. I think a lot of women do. I really don't have anything against it so much. I think that if you're going to do it, you need to be someone recently we spoke to, Nikki Delano. Very smart girl. Mm-hmm. I think you need to be. Like that, or like a Jenna Jameson, you need to bankroll it and make it your career and make sure that you or like this girl, it sounds like she's got a business plan.
Right.
You know, you can't just go into it for making quick money because then you fizzle out quickly and you end up with problems and everything else. And that then I feel sorry for women in there. But I really, people ask you, you know, do you feel sorry for that? Not really. I think women make a choice. And I think if you make a strong choice and you do it, you can stand in it. Go for it, girl. Do what you do.
Yeah, there you go. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, an actor. A very handsome one. Too bad we won't get to see him in person. But he's in daytime dramas. Is it a daytime soap opera? I don't think so. They're just saying daytime drama series. Okay, so we'll see what that's all about. Sounds
pretty
interesting.
He's recently nominated for an Emmy as well.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, the show's nominated.
And for the ladies out there, he has an accent, so yay!
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're mentioning Denise Richards here, who was on the show too, apparently. So
Denise Richards on?
On this show called Vanity that he's on.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah, I really like her as a person. I think she's a, you know, like here's the thing. Denise Richards, when I saw the Charlie Sheen thing happen, she became a great mom and a great ex-wife, and she really stepped up, and she seemed like a really great, genuine, good person. And she's gorgeous to boot.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I like
her
a lot.
I know. She's cool, and she was like sort of like the snubbed wife, you know.
Yeah, because I think that he gave her a lot of slack, but she seemed like she really stepped up and really cared at one point for him. So
yeah,
I felt really badly for him. And we see how diseased maybe he is now mentally. And I think, I know when I said that, I couldn't even look at you because I knew you were going to laugh. but what I mean is, like, you know, we know now he's just not a very cautious person with other people. And that's
sad. Yeah, he's all over the place, you know. So, you saw another guest. It's probably for the other show.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was like, is that your guest?
In the opposite channel, there's another show on dating and stuff, and that's probably their guest. Yeah,
nice.
So
I
it's two girls. You can imagine if a handsome guy walks in here, it's probably for them.
I know. I was sad to hear that this one was calling in today. I was like, all right, grumblings from over here. All right.
Yeah. Oh well, you know what can I say? You know, eye candy or not, we'll get to talk to him, and that'll be interesting.
Yeah, he seems like an interesting guy as well. Seems like he can. You know what I mean? Sometimes people, you're like, ugh. This one seems like he's really interesting, like a nice, genuine guy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, he looks familiar to me. I don't know. But at any rate, so what's going on with you? How are you doing? If people want to get a hold of you, Leah, how can they find you if they want to know more about you while they're listening now?
So on Instagram or at Twitter, it's at Leah Pelka, LEAHPELKA. I haven't been so active lately. I promise to try to get better with it. I really do. But yeah, you can find me there.
Okay,
so
sounds cool.
Yeah.
And
check me on Jared's show.
Yeah,
well.
Jared's show, that's Thursdays at 8 on the video channel.
It's a lot of fun. Listen in.
Yeah, yeah, listen in and check it out. So today's 420, Leah.
It is
420. And we should be celebrating at a dispensary or something. Well, the day is not over yet.
You guys will have a great time doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what 420 stands for, that's sort of a code word for marijuana.
And 310 is
oil.
Because I just learned that recently, and I'm all these times.
I know.
So, we just missed 310, too.
We missed 310. 310 is like... an upside down, the word oil. And some people like vape on oil.
These
smoke
artsy
oil
marijuana smokers.
I know,
they're so
I know.
Smart.
But 420 is the reason this number came up is, of course, they gave that name to one of the propositions here when it went to be voted. But the thing is that they're saying it came from Berkeley. I think there was a bunch
of
high school guys.
In California.
Yeah. A bunch of high school guys, and they would meet after school at 4:20 p.m. to get high.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so it's sort of like, you know, evolved from there. That's the urban legend. I don't know what the
evolution of marijuana has been very interesting. Have you ever watched Weed Etiquette on Vice Channel?
No.
It discusses how marijuana impacts several cultures that are less privileged, like the pygmies, and how they survive solely off of marijuana sales.
Really?
And they've been run out of their home in the Congo, so it's they're on the run, and they're selling, and they're trying to maintain. And it really illustrates how marijuana is the survival technique for a lot of people.
For many people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's wonderful.
I mean, crops and everything, you know, and I mean, the industry that he's evolved here in California and, of course, in Colorado and Washington, where it's already legal, it's unprecedented, and it's not going to – and I think there's no stopping it now. It's like a locomotive that's like a runaway locomotive.
It's going to be like prohibition in a while, I believe. I believe it's something that we're going to have to legalize to be able to help ourselves get out of debt, because, I mean, we're giving money to the cartel right now by doing it. I know it's cocaine.
Exactly,
as well,
and nobody thinks about it.
We may as
well
make the money off of ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the lottery or whatever else. Nefarious things are going to happen, like it, love it, hate it.
Right.
We may as well, at the end of it, profit off of it and be able to help our country become out of a problem.
Exactly, and the thing is, you're not going to put it away because so many people love it, you know? I mean, you go to these dispensaries, you have to wait sometimes 20 minutes just to so they can let you walk in because there's so many people there. I went to the Cannabis Cup. I couldn't even get close. I mean, a mile of gridlock all around.
Right.
Finally, I turned around and went home. But so that's how many people are into it, you know?
It's like the porn of drugs.
Yeah.
I feel like people do it and don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like they do it
that's
and they don't
true.
Talk about it. There's not a lot to want to lobby just yet. But eventually, they're gaining momentum and gaining speed because back home for me, like if you wanted to buy marijuana back home, it's funny. It's
which
like,
is where? Tell people where you're home.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Alabama. You know, if you wanted to buy marijuana back home, I remember my friends who used to buy, they would pay like $50 for a dime sack, and it would be just seeds and stems. And that's hilarious to me now, because it's like you go here and you can get the greenest of green, you can get organic, you can get it flavored, you can get it. I mean, it's ridiculous. So the evolution of weed sales, once it becomes legalized, it's just incredible.
It's incredible. And the number of, and the amount of money they made in Colorado already, they're releasing those numbers. There's a, Yeah, there's a headline here on CNN, did pot money save small town? And
so true.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is that I like that more people are talking about it. And like you said, because a lot of people are like closet users, you know. I have been for many years until, you know, it's become more accepted and stuff.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm not ashamed of it. I remember for many years I would smoke marijuana and just feel guilty and ashamed. You know?
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I totally understand where you're coming from. You shouldn't be ashamed of what you do. I mean, you should be proud of what you do, and you should be able to do it, especially because here, it's legal. I mean, it's not legal. It's legal with a medical license, which makes it legal. Right. So it's
exactly.
Like, I can be walking down the street and catch a whiff of that before I catch a cigarette.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it happens all
so
the time.
It's so common. It's so common.
I know. I mean, you go anywhere. You walk around. I remember I was in San Francisco, and I can't forget this. I smelled pot, and I'm looking, and there's a woman walking, pushing a stroller, a baby stroller, and smoking a joint.
She's like,
downtown San Francisco.
The Monday blues.
There's people around us, you know?
Yeah, no,
so
I totally
they
understand.
Don't give a shit, man.
No, I totally understand. And I think it's one of those things, too, where it's like, if people would understand that there are people in even like Mississippi and Alabama where it would be highly, you would be stoned in public if people knew it. You know what I mean? But it's one of those things where they pay so much damn money to get it that if that state were benefiting from that, we wouldn't have near the problems that we have
there
currently within the U.S.
I mean,
we would have a lot more resource money.
Exactly. How many resources are we going to save on drug enforcement if we do away with this illegal bullshit? You
if
know?
We can start looking at drugs, hardcore drugs, drugs that are difficult, drugs that are manufactured versus drugs that are pulled out of the ground, it would be a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I can't believe that what a cop's going to do, bust in your house and be like, you better not be in there smoking a plant peacefully. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
But you know,
or growing
crazy.
A couple of plants. Yeah. I mean, what the hell is that all about?
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. You know,
I've not heard of any marijuana obscure deaths either, which I've heard of meth or bath salts or these other things.
Yeah.
I feel like what's scary is that people are just having to hide it and it's becoming something that's like a black cloud over the U.S. instead of something that we can just benefit from.
Right. But I think it's getting better, so there we go. Okay, I think our guest is calling in now.
Yay.
So we're going to be joined by Mr. Cooper. Emers Cooper, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you? You sound
I'm
a little...
Well, thank you.
We sound a little low. Where are you calling us from?
I'm actually calling you guys from Toronto. Sorry, I just came out of it. Am I live on air right now?
Yes, you're on the air, my friend.
Oh, okay. I better not swear then.
Yeah, no, no.
Yes,
hold on.
Yes, you can swear. Please do. We invite you to.
Yes, exactly. You can
I'm
swear.
British, so watch out.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm here. You're talking to Sam, of course, and I have Leah here, who's a guest co-host, just so you know who you're talking to. And what are you doing in Toronto? No, first, I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your first name correctly. Can you say it for us?
Yeah, it's Emrys Cooper.
Right, that's what I thought.
It's like Emrys.
Yeah, just
it's
like the way
it's Welsh, actually.
Yeah, just the way it's spelled. So perfect, Emrys. So what are you doing in Toronto these days?
Well, I'm actually about to start a project in a little bit, but I'm going to be in New York tomorrow for the screening. It's like the premiere of my new series at Tribeca. So that's kind of why I'm on the East Coast. And the show is called Relationship Status. And it's I'm so sorry. I'm walking past a lot of noise. I'm trying to find it.
It's okay. I feel like you're in Long Beach and you're laying out somewhere. I feel like you're in Long Beach and you're like moving away from the ocean so we can't hear it. Like, I feel like you've really just made this a genius plan. You're like, I'm not in Toronto.
I'm in Long Beach right now. I'm in the Jersey Shore right now. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
I respect
that. What's up, New York?
I respect it.
But it would be fun to walk around Toronto talking on the radio show. I could see what.
Absolutely.
I love Toronto because it reminds me of London and there's plenty of pubs.
Yeah,
so
I
get to walk around, and you know, I live in LA, but it's fun to go to other places, you know.
Of course,
that's true. Oh, so you live in LA? How long have you lived here?
Off and on for about 5 years. Yeah, I've got a place near the Grove.
Nice.
I love it. I have my animals, and I love LA.
Yeah,
LA's a great place. It's a good lifestyle. But I'm also lucky to kind of travel quite a lot for work. I kind of get bored in LA if I'm there for too long. Nothing changes.
Yeah, that's true. Now, let me ask you this, Emers. You are on a daytime drama series. It's called Vanity. And
that's correct.
So tell us a little bit about your role in it and what the show is about.
Well, it's about the fashion world in New York. Vanity is a fashion It's a clothing line, and I play the kind of romantic love interest, the lead girl. He's like a charming bad boy, and
how do you play that role so well? All good looking and sounding like James Bond.
Yeah, I had a really fun time playing it, because he's got this, like, the duality between good and evil. I mean, he's very, I think deep down he's a good guy, but he goes around things the wrong way. I play Alistair, and it's a mix between, like, Gossip Girl and Ugly Betty. And yeah, I had a really good time shooting it, and it's, you know, it's doing well, so I'm happy about that.
Wow, very nice. How long have you been on the series now?
Well, we did 12 episodes last year. When did I shoot it? Last summer? Last summer. Uh-huh. And it just finished airing, I guess, last December, was it? Yeah, and now we are up for an Emmy, which is great. It's up for the Outstanding Drama Series, and I'm waiting to hear about the second season.
Wow,
how
amazing.
You also were nominated for an Emmy as well?
No, I haven't been this year, but hopefully next. The series is up for an Emmy.
Well, very good. That's incredible. Incredible, though.
Yeah, the show is nominated. And now, it says Outstanding Digital Daytime Drama Series. What's digital? Does that mean it's available online?
Yeah, it's available online. You can watch it on Style Hall, Apple TV. And it's cool because it's, you know, the next generation, the digital age.
Right.
It's you know, the most, you know, the audience is pretty, I mean, I think it's like 15-year-old girls to, you know, there's some guys, but it's, you know, early 20s. But that's the way people are watching TV these days. I'm a bit old-fashioned. I was like, what? How do you watch it? How do I watch myself?
No, you'll be amazed.
It out now, so.
Yeah, you'll be amazed.
But if you just Google the name, oh, sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. If we Google the name.
Yeah, I mean, if you Google Vanity Series, anyone can kind of watch it. So it's really good. It's very accessible.
Very nice.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I mean, this is definitely the way to go. I mean, look, we're on the internet as well, all digital and everything, because that's where the audience is now. You know, so it's very cool. Now, how did you have to audition for this here in L.A., or were you in the U.K. at the time? How did it work?
It was actually last year in LA, and it's actually a funny story. It was a bad, I shouldn't really confess to this, and I haven't done this before, but I actually had the audition notice on Friday for it, and it was on a Monday, and for some reason, I completely forgot about the audition, and on Monday, I was looking at my emails, and I was like, I think I might have an audition today, and then I was like, oh shit, it's actually in 15 minutes, so I literally jumped in my car with what I was wearing. I didn't even get to read the script or anything like that. I kind of just knew that it was called Vanity. And I got to the audition, and then I opened the door, and there's like 15 people in there. And I was like, well, this is a big deal. I was like, oh, shit, I should have known my life. But I think because I hadn't got the chance to put the pressure on myself, and I kind of just, you know, I was myself. So I think the character was quite close to me. So it wasn't too much of a push. But I don't really recommend that to many other actors, by the way. You know, do your work.
Yeah.
Normally I'm very prepared. But, you know, I think opportunity meets preparation meets hard work. You know, they all kind of collide sometimes, and you know, I've been doing this a while, so I kind of hopefully know what I'm doing. I still feel like I'm faking it most of the time, but luckily got the job. And
yeah, it's amazing, you know,
history, I guess.
And it shows about timing and about being in the right place at the right time. You know, you talk about opportunity and hard work and everything, but I mean, here you are, you know, you manage. I mean, think about it. The story is great because you almost missed the audition, and then you go there and you get the part, and that's because you were exactly what they were looking for, you know? So I think that's a lot of, like, I mean, obviously you had to find out about this, but all you have to do is show up sometimes, you know?
Right.
People forget that.
Exactly, yeah.
So true. So tell me about your character, because you were saying you're a lot like him. Do you think that helps you when you're reading lines? Do you put a lot of your emphasis and your stank on it?
Definitely. Well, some roles just fit like a glove, and some are others are hard to put on. But I found Alistair extremely fun. I mean, he's very ambitious, which I can relate to. He's also, you know, insecure. He hasn't had the best education, and I think he's winged it on charm his whole life, which, you know, I think is an actor you can kind of relate to. But, you know, my education was pretty tough, as I was dyslexic and I had ADD. So just school was just a bit tricky for me. But I'm not saying I'm not dumb by any means, but it was, you know, I can relate to him as far as many of his characteristics and his life story. I kind of used quite a lot of my own story in his story. But also, you know, it's easier said than done. You can't just play a version of yourself because that would be boring. So I really liked playing Alistair because, you know, he went on so many twists and turns, and I think ultimately he went on a really great journey, and by the end I think he was a kind of better guy than he was at the beginning. So it was good to have a character, because I've come into shows for an episode or two, and when you're guest starring, you don't necessarily get the opportunity to show as much about the character, but when you've got a whole 12 episodes, you get to go on a much more, in-depth character study. So that was really fun.
That's true, yeah. So this is very cool. I mean, this is for younger viewers. Not younger viewers like 12 years old, but it's a series of people, what, in their 20s, 30s?
Well, there was quite a lot of sexy stuff in the show, so I don't want to go as young as 12, but maybe they did watch it. I did get myself in a few sexual situations, which, definitely shouldn't be for the younger viewers. But we had a really great audience, and what was really fun is they were really involved and very vocal online about things, and my character was very the love interest and charming, sweet guy for the first 5 or 6 episodes, and then by episode 6, I think it was the reveal that he was actually masterminding some of the really bad things going on. And then the viewers really turned on my character and started hating the character, which means I was doing a good job. Because, they really were like, oh, I can't believe he's done that. And, it's so funny how serious they take it. So, I think it's really important for the audience to kind of have a reaction to you. Because otherwise, if they're not having a reaction to you, you're not making an impact.
Are you looking forward to the evolution of Alistair? I mean, because you got to tell us about the broad spectrum that you've already been able to realize, and you went from being loved to being more, disliked. Are you looking forward to the evolution and maybe getting back in good graces? Or do you like the bad boy?
I'm going to find out when we're going to go into another series. But right now, I enjoyed the run of Alistair. I'd be up for doing it again, but there's a lot of other things I'm kind of working on right now that are really exciting as well. So, it's the kind of character I'd definitely be happy to put on again, but it's a character that I'll probably end up playing on a different show or a movie. It's very kind of similar to Alfie, and to play a charming bad boy Brit is kind of in my wheelhouse now.
It's on the resume.
I'll play another version of Alistair. I'll have another version of Alistair before you know it.
That's probably true, but who can complain about something like that,
right? I'm charming and a bad boy and all the women love me. Exactly, so stressful to be you.
I know.
So stressful.
Mr. Alpha Male here. Yeah. But that's amazing. We're talking to Emrys Cooper, an actor, a British actor. And so at what age did you start acting back home?
I was actually pretty young because my mother and father were kind of involved with the arts. My dad did a lot of Shakespeare, and my mother was kind of a former dancer, and my sister was, in fact, dancing as well. So from the age of 4 or 5, I was kind of getting dragged along to watch my father on stage, and I actually hated it because he was doing Shakespeare, and when you're 5 years old, you're like, oh my God, I can't understand what the hell they're talking about. But then I kind of really I saw my sister in dance classes, and I saw her doing stage, and I was very jealous, so I kind of bugged my mother to let me, and eventually they did. And it was like a duck to water. I really just got into it straight away. I was very at home. I didn't really, when I got into it, I was very young, but I was doing it for the love of it. And then, as I got older, I was still about fame and money. And unfortunately, that's the worst part of the industry for me. I mean, I think you've got to do it for the love of it, because it'll be so unrewarding most of the time. So it's just very good to kind of remember why you're doing it. And I think I've always loved being on stage. I've always liked entertaining people or inspiring people and telling stories. And I think that I'm very passionate about acting and the craft of it. And, I love playwrights, and I love watching great films and classics. And, it's just something I happen to be very passionate about. And I don't really feel like it's a job. It's always just been, I've just always done it because it's all I've ever known.
Right.
So, I never made a conscious decision to be an actor. It was just kind of inevitable.
Yeah. It was kind of predestined in the stars
there
for you.
There you go. And many actors say similar things, They're like, I don't know what I would be doing if I were not acting, So it's in your blood. And I think that's when you really do a great job, is when that's really what you do best,
Absolutely.
And not everybody can do that, I mean, I can do a lot of things, but I don't think acting is one of them. I don't think I could really be somebody else,
That's why he's on the radio now.
Exactly. not in the movies. Emrys Cooper, everybody check out the series Vanity, nominated for a Daytime Emmy, Outstanding Digital Daytime Drama. And it's a series, obviously. How many episodes per season?
There's 12 episodes. But back to doing the acting thing. I would say to any aspiring actors, unless you really have to do it, don't do it, because it's a very tough industry. I think that with acting, it's kind of, you have to do it. It's in you.
Were there times that you wanted to quit?
That's the kind of actor that becomes successful in the long run, because they just really have to do it.
Were there times that you wanted to quit? Like, you were just like, I can't do this anymore. It was really difficult on you? Because it sounds like you went through some really big hardship of, you know, before you got to the place that you're at, because you're successful now. So before you got there, how did it feel?
Yeah, I've never actually thought about quitting, but there's been a lot of struggles where I'm like, am I doing the right thing? But I've never got to the point of, I've definitely had a lot of sideline jobs as bartending and, you know, training people and all sorts of things along the journey. But, you know, I think that makes you appreciate any successes you get, because the struggles make you, you know, you have to embrace the whole journey. You can't just embrace the successes, because the struggles also make you the person you are. And, you know, if I had a whole successful life with no struggles, I wouldn't be able to play a lot of different emotions.
Right.
You know, the darkest
right.
times in my life are great. I'm so glad I had them, because now I can access those whenever I'm on, you know, when I need to go to a darker place or depression or anything like that. I know those feelings, so I can substitute my own life into the roles I do. But what was my point being is, no, I haven't ever thought about giving up, luckily.
Yeah. Yeah,
I haven't got that yet.
That's great. That's really good. I think that it would be, I mean, as a female, especially, and someone, you know, when you're criticized all the time, it's hard not to want to. So I think it's interesting that you kind of had this fighting spirit along the whole way, but it did help you to kind of form your new characters. You did say you had some new work coming up. What else are you working on right now?
I'm actually shooting a movie called Nosferatu right now, which is the remake of the original. In fact, Nosferatu was the first ever vampire movie in 1922. It was a silent movie, and it's right. You know, hailed as one of the greatest horror movies of all time. It's inspired a lot of filmmakers. So I'm doing the remake. I'm playing the lead character, which is really exciting, called Thomas Hutter. And I'm working with a really great cast from Doug Jones playing the iconic Count Orlok, Jodie Fisher, Sarah Carter, Jack Turner, and it's really cool. It's a period piece based in 1823 in Germany, and I love my character because he gets to go on this really crazy journey. He starts off really obnoxious and just really arrogant, but it's coming from a place of insecurity again. He's kind of, it's a facade, and then by the end of the movie, he goes on this real journey, and he ends up being a lot more solemn, and his, you know, his wife dies, and all this crazy stuff happens along the way. He gets bitten by a vampire, so it was really fun getting to play with all these things, and we finished the movie, I think, mid-May, we wrap up, so that's something I'm really passionate about. I have a couple of movies coming out this year, which I'm excited that, you know, finally the audiences get to see some of the work I thought was pretty cool. Till We Meet Again as a movie, that's going to be out in August. And then the new series I'm in will be available the 29th of April on G90, which is a mobile app, but you can watch it on television as well. And that series is about, it's called Relationship Status. It's all about online dating, and it's a really interesting character study about, you know, what's actually happening in the 20-somethings and how people are meeting people these days. So I had a really fun time working on the series, and it's cool that it's going to be available very soon for people to watch.
Sounds great.
Really?
Now, Emrys, we're just about out of time, but I wanted to also mention the short documentary that you made, and you have a GoFundMe campaign. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So basically, I was in Bhutan earlier this year shooting a film, and on one of my days off, I went to an orphanage called the Naipak Monastery, it really touched my heart, and they were affected by an earthquake and severely shaken, and the 40 or 50 young monks that live there currently have very bad living conditions. And I'm trying to raise $10,000 to, you know, support this monastery that's been around for 450 years to rebuild it. I think we're over 1,000 now, which is cool. In about 2 weeks, you know, I haven't really pushed it that hard. But if anyone wants to check it out, it's, you know, you can find me on social media. It's just my name, Emrys Cooper, E-M-R-H-Y-S, Cooper. Little plug there. So, yeah, I really think it'd be cool to just keep the history alive. And I made a little 3-minute documentary about my experience. And I think it was a bit of a personal journey, and I think it came on at the right time. I was struggling with some things during filming. It was very stressful, and just seeing how happy and content those young boys were, even though they had nothing, was a really good eye-opener for me. You know, don't let the big things affect you. It's the simple things in life. So
right.
I made this little documentary, and I think if anyone wants to support the cause or share it, then I'd really appreciate it.
Sure.
Isn't it funny how sometimes we can be like dramatically humbled? We can be in the middle of having just our own moment, and we can turn around and see something that's so much more devastating, and we're humbled immediately. It's incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my problems look like nothing. I mean, these guys are worried about where they're going to eat and sleep, and I'm like, you know, my life isn't that bad.
Yeah, right. There you go. It's all relative.
Put things into perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
Emrys Cooper, thank you so much for joining us. How can people find you again?
Oh, it was my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's just my name, so I'm on all those social media platforms.
Okay.
I hate to say it because they're very time-consuming, but, like, let me know if any of your listeners want to ask me questions. You just go to my Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or YouTube, and it's just my name, at Emrys Cooper. So I'd love to hear from you guys.
I am actually about to say thank you for talking to us earlier so that I can go ahead and connect with you that way, because you're amazing. I think you're great. I want to follow your career, definitely, especially because you're a humanitarian, I can tell. It's great.
And
oh, well, I'd like to follow you, too. So follow me, and I'll follow you back.
Oh, that's sweet.
You got
thanks.
It. And we really wish for you guys to win this Emmy. I know it's going to help a lot, and it helps legitimize what you do, you know, and that's great. Emrys, thank you so much for joining us again. Be careful in Toronto. I know it's a great place. And all the best to you. Thank you for joining us.
You too. I really appreciate you having me on your show. So have a great day, guys.
You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I wouldn't mind being in Toronto right now.
Right? I'm so happy for him getting to go to Tribeca tomorrow. That's going to be incredible. I mean, he sounds like a really great guy and a really nice guy.
Yeah.
That's very, very rare. I mean, because, I mean, and being in L.A., you meet people who think that they're actors, and he actually is an actor. And he's a very nice guy, which is
works.
Very,
yeah,
he's
and
working, he cares about other people. Know. It's very, very attractive.
Very cool. Emrys Cooper. Sometimes I wonder, what the hell did I do in my 20s and 30s when I looked like,
whoever you're about to say, you didn't look like that.
No, just kidding. No, I'm wondering if I should say this, but no, a former girlfriend called me a Greek god at the time.
Oh, my.
So, yeah.
David.
There were times when my hair was black and it was a lot more fun. But, you know, what can I tell you? I was in a lot better shape and everything. But
you guys are lucky, though, because women, when we get to be your age, we're cretins. You're like a fine
line. Not all
of
them. It depends.
You guys age well.
I think the women that take care of themselves do just
fine. Like J-Lo and Madonna? Like, what is wrong with them? They're vampires.
Yeah, but it's not only them. I mean, you know, I see many women that are,
but if I said Sarah from up the street, our viewers would have no idea who the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So I gotta give you a relative relative example. Shit. Like, I'll need some slack.
For those of you just joining us, I'm joined here by Leah Pelka this morning. You guys can find her where?
At Leah Pelka on Instagram and at Leah Pelka on Twitter. And then you can find me on Thursday nights with Jared Zavistowski on Modern Male Radio.
There you go. And Pelka is not a Polish name, right?
It is a very German.
German.
Name.
Okay, so
yeah, I'm
close,
German.
Actually. Yeah.
I'm not German.
Yeah, but Pelka sounds like polka or something like
that. It kind of does.
Right?
I can see where you were going with it. Yeah, I'm native and Italian, so very unlike...
Yeah.
That situation. But Ben is extremely German.
Wow.
Extremely, like born in Germany.
Really?
Yeah, born
wow,
in Germany.
Wow, very cool. No, I mean, it is. It is to be born somewhere else. But that's very cool. A couple of things. Well, we'll get back to the 420 in a minute. I just, we should probably.
I'm not going to let that one go.
I'm not letting 420 go. Hey, we're going to celebrate it all day. And I haven't even prepared for it or anything, but I'm sure as hell not going to a dispensary to celebrate because everybody's going
to
be there. What's that?
Is that a crazy place to be during this time?
Yes, because they're giving things away, so everybody goes there. You know,
they have
you try and see what.
No, I mean,
yeah,
no,
try and see. I mean, for yourself, I'm
there's
telling
one,
you.
There's one on the way home from here, and I bet that it'll be packed. I'm sure I'll see it.
They all are, because they're probably going to have some tacos outside or something.
Well, that's genius.
It's a celebration.
Tacos and
yeah,
weed,
they
like.
Do, yeah. They
it's
do
like
that.
Cinco
like
de Mayo
tacos.
/ 420.
Yeah,
we're doing a mixed celebration. I'm with it. I'm with that life.
I know, or barbecue or whatever.
I think that's
know.
Really cute.
Yeah.
Like, they have a food truck outside, like a grilled cheese food truck.
Yeah.
They have
like,
some serious
not even the trucks. They just bring a little,
just
a couple of
homies.
People to make it. Yeah, and they make it outside in a little booth or something.
I have to admit something to everybody right now. You know, it's really strange. I know you're only about to 420, but like having that first is my first phone interview ever on air.
Oh, really?
And it's harder to gauge when they're going to talk and when you're going to talk. Right? I feel so bad because I was trying to get in. I couldn't tell if he was being quiet or taking a breath. It's so much easier when they're here. So I feel bad for cutting him off a couple times. But he was great though. I wonder if he celebrates at all. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nice guy.
Listen, you're doing just fine. Relax. I mean, it's okay.
Oh no, I was just sitting there thinking about it. I was like, you know what?
It's
that was more difficult. It is, but
it takes experience to learn how to deal with it.
But it was cool. It was different. Yeah. It was really interesting. Something that, like, I guess I didn't really think about the difference in dynamic of it. But it's very different than having someone in house.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I prefer him here. And he was going to be here, but like you heard, he's in Toronto
he's
now,
try Becca tomorrow.
So he couldn't come.
Very cool.
But we can always have him back on the show in person. Let's see. So I just wanted to talk about the New York primaries yesterday.
Oh, wow, that was crazy.
Yeah. So as expected, both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump won. So far, the Republican Party has about 2,400 delegates. The Democratic Party has about 4,700 delegates so far. So, but Clinton is leading by about 700 delegates. Trump is leading Cruz by about 200 delegates. So Trump is not a slam dunk, but they're saying, like, mathematically almost, it's like Cruz and Sanders are at a point where they can't. There's no room for error for them. You
right,
know?
There's no margin.
It's either it's either they do it now or they never will.
You either pull the trigger, or you don't. It's interesting because it's like, you know, I think a few months ago we were all talking about Trump maybe like summer as this. A bit of a joke, laughing.
Right.
Like, oh, look at this guy. And now look at where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, people are like, who are you going to vote for? And usually you don't talk about that, but I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Neither one.
Really, neither one,
neither
right?
Neither one.
It's hard to really decide. And I keep asking people, like, if the elections were held today, who would you vote for? You know, many people say Trump. So I don't know. You know, I think there's a lot of people in the closet that are Trump followers.
They're like the weed smokers out there.
Yeah,
too,
exactly.
That,
you know,
I mean, it's the same thing.
I mean, I know. I was embarrassed to go and buy his book. I was just curious to see what he wrote, and you know, which I had mentioned before on the show. I think he's got some great points, and he wrote about them in 2011, which was before he was running. But yeah, ever since he came out of the gate. The things he says, he puts his foot in his mouth, he alienates a lot of people, he's not that likable for many people. So, yeah, so his mouth is going to be his undoing,
right.
I think.
No, I think, like I really had an issue with the time when he said women who have abortions should be punished.
Right.
And he even went back and recanted his statement. That's how bad it was. Now, he's not somebody
right, but you
like
also
that.
Have to clarify, you're taking that out of context, and many people have. It was like... It was a hypothetical question. It was if abortion was illegal. Okay, if abortion were illegal, then women who have abortion should be punished. That's what he's saying for breaking the law.
When I watched the interview,
but it's never going to happen.
It was the whole thing. And he was saying, what I saw was them saying, so you've discussed abortion. What do you think about currently the laws that are in place? And he was saying, if I were president, here's what I would do. There has to be some form of punishment for them.
And they didn't talk about it being illegal?
No.
Like if abortion was illegal?
I didn't see it as a discussion of him, of it being illegal. But
well,
he went back and said that there are laws in place and he's comfortable with them being there. So the law discussion came, from what I understood, secondary. But the only reason I have a problem with it is because it's like, what are you going to do with the fathers? If they're the ones who are around and leaving the children and a woman, like how do you... And so that's my thing, is it sounds like a very unbalanced and very primitive and very horrible thing to do.
It's not a new thing at all. And,
right,
and
but
that's
I just think
thing.
It's so barbaric the way that he talks about things sometimes. Like, you can't rape your own wife?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, what do you...
did he say that?
He did. It
was
a long time
ago. He says
a
lot of stupid things, man.
But, you know, he when his daughter was born, he said, well, he's got her mom's legs, but we'll see later if he has her rack.
Yeah,
his daughter, and I'm like,
or he said, if she wasn't my daughter, I'd probably date her.
Ugh, I mean, it's just some of the things he says are just so.
That's what I'm saying.
Outlandish, you know, that are just.
But he's always been like that. That's Donald Trump, except that before he didn't run.
But just don't run for president.
Exactly,
you
know. Before he didn't run for anything, you know. So So that's what's going on.
It's just really strange. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how we didn't talk about Hillary at all. I mean, like, between the two, I think I would. It's just, here's the thing. What I feel like we're going to have drastic change with Trump or more of the same with Hillary. And I don't want either one. I want change, but not that crazy. I don't want it to be the exact same. So it's like, that's what I feel like I'm fighting with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. For those of you just joining us, the question is, why are you just joining us? It's about 5 minutes before the end of the show, but I'm here with Leah Pelka, having a great time. And we talked to a British actor who is also very handsome, but you only get to see him in pictures now. And so in New York, that's what happened there. And so just talking about, I guess, yeah, I do want to talk more about pot. Why not?
Of course you do, Samsky.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the 70s and we smoked.
Big conversation.
The funny thing was, I came here when I was 16 years old. It was 1976.
Oh, that's and I came from Israel, like a young Sam.
And I'd already received great anti-drug education in Israel before I came here. So when I came here, I'm like, no drugs at 16, right? No drugs for me. And then, so then I went to a party and smelled it for the first time. And you know how it hits you, because it's an unusual smell, you know?
It is. And it's pungent.
Yeah, it's like something that you never tried before. You know what? I got to tell you, both my parents and people in my life are calling me right now. Why are you people calling me now? I mean, I'm on the air. You people should know that.
I know. I had my ex-husband text me earlier, and I text him back, I'm on the air. I just text him back that, and I think it's the best excuse ever. But yeah, I know. I think it's funny, because like, we all have this hour designated like once a week or how one time during the day, and during that hour is when they want to call you. It's hilarious. Yeah. My stuff blows up when I'm on the air. I totally understand.
I know. But hey,
you should take the call. Mom, you're on the air.
I know. I should, right?
That's so cute.
I know, but I'd have to speak to her in Hebrew. But if I spoke to her in English, she's like, why are you talking to me in English?
It's because your mom, you're on the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam, get me off the air.
You see, that would have been great, because I always dreamed of like not only having a radio show, but having like my parents on. And this was Howard Stern sometimes has his parents. He used to have them more than now.
That's cool.
But I also know that, like Rick Dees, when Rick Dees was popular here, he would, I think, talk to his mom or something sometimes. And so I just got this idea that it would be great. But, of course, my parents were always in Israel since I came on the air. And now that they're here, they're older, you know, and
right. You
know, their English is not as great. So what am I going to do? Speak to them English on the air? It's not going to be the same, you know?
It'd be kind of cute, though. Yeah. Broken English.
But I mean,
talked to him about a touchy subject. It'd be super cute.
Yeah, but can you imagine if they were, like, speaking English fluently and stuff, and I could go over, like, so how was I when I was 5 years old?
My mom speaks English fluently, and I never make the mistake of calling her on the air. Never made it. My mom is too Italian for that. She'd
really?
Be, listen, I give no fucks right now, and she would tell everything.
Really?
Of course.
Okay, so next time you come in, we'll have to call your mother.
Ugh. No, there's no way I could ever. I would never. Like, if you stole my phone, I would probably fingerprint it just to make sure that you couldn't get her number out of it. There's no way. Well, you would probably become my stepfather, too, if y'all ended up talking. It would be horrible. I could imagine that being the case. I would be like, oh, God, what have I done?
Oh, God.
Oh,
that's funny.
What have I done?
Yeah.
It would just be birthing a new creature. It'd be too crazy.
Yeah, that's true. So cool. So what do you do mainly with your life, Leah? I mean, you're a model, right? You've done modeling and stuff.
I'm helping Jared currently. We're writing a bunch of articles and a bunch of stuff for a book.
Have you done any acting at all? I mean, are you into acting?
No, it's not that I'm not into acting. I've just never had the opportunity. I mean, again, I didn't grow up in L.A., and I didn't come here for that. I came here because we talked about this earlier. I grew up in Alabama, and I had a very different set of standards and beliefs that people around me did. And I wanted to raise my children to be able to be comfortable in any setting and love whomever they would like to and do what they wanted. When I got here, I realized maybe my personality is very gregarious, and I work in some of those areas. But I've never really enthusiastically with vigor or seriousness ever tried any of those things. But right. I feel like, just like you were talking about earlier, the right place, the right time.
Right.
Boom, you know, one day Jared has something happening. He loses his co-host. I go in. And then the next thing you know, I'm on your morning show all the time now.
There you go. Things happen.
Yeah, I think it just, I think with organic stuff, things will happen.
Yeah, good. And you and when you keep yourself open, you're more open to taking opportunities.
Right,
you know,
I think
because
so.
You're not tied into something. The same with the relationship, folks, and that's how we're going to mark the end of the show, is that if you are happy with what you have, keep what you have. When you're not happy, go get it somewhere else.
Oh, God, that's terrible advice, Sam.
No, I mean, but everybody knows. I always say, yeah, I always say, end what you have first.
Oh, of course.
You know, that's
what
I'm saying, not to cheat. But, yeah, I don't promote cheating at all. In fact, we talked about it a lot the other day. We had a guest here regarding talking about cheating and stuff.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
I'm totally opposed to that. Never have, never will. Been cheated on. And that's why I'm so opposed to it, because it's very hurtful.
I cheated when I was younger.
Really?
When I was younger. And I didn't know the
You didn't know any better.
But we were 17. Like, we were going to get married or whatever else. Yeah. You know what I mean? We were all looking for someone better to date because no one was being serious. But in my older years, no, I think it's really difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Leah, thank you so much for joining me this morning. The hour just flew by, of course, as always.
Thanks for having me.
We thank Amos Cooper for calling in, and much success to him with the Grammy Award.
Emmy.
They're nominated for an Emmy. See, that's what happens when I close my screen before the end of the show. But Leah, thanks again. You're welcome back anytime.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I'll be back here with Kelsey tomorrow. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.